We are just blessed with John and the entire team. Last week we had the students from Valley Forge Christian College bless us as they led us in worship. But I love our worship here at Calvary. It's just so anointed. We were blessed with John and just the entire team to be able to enter into the presence of God every week like that. I know I enjoy it. I look forward to it. I hope you do as well. And this morning we're continuing a series we've been going through this month called Ripple Effect. And how many of you have ever seen the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? A few of you. It's a great movie. It was actually a book originally written in 1964 that was later turned into a movie in 1971. And then turned in, worked back in 2005 with Johnny Depp and re-released. It's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's an awesome movie. If you've ever seen it, if you haven't, you definitely put it on the list to watch. And basically the whole movie is based around this young kid named Charlie Bucket. And Charlie Bucket was born into a poverty-stricken family. But as fortune would have it, Charlie Bucket finds one of only five golden tickets hidden in Willy Wonka chocolate bars distributed around the world. And as he goes to this factory, he meets up with the other four winners. There are five winners from around the world. And they're given a tour of the Wonka chocolate factory by none other than Willy Wonka himself. Pretty incredible. And as they progress through these rooms, they discover the incredible creations and the unique inventions that are scattered throughout this candy fantasy land. But an interesting thing happens as they go from room to room. In the movie, as they progress through the different rooms of the factory, a different child is lost. Another child is lost. So in the one room, in the chocolate room, young Augustus Gloop leans down and tries to drink from the chocolate river that's flowing through that room, and he falls in and is washed away. In the next room, in the invention room, young Violet Beauregard eats one of the experimental pieces of candy and turns into a giant blueberry. And you see there the Oompa Loompas roll her out, and she's gone. In the next room, you have, almost forgot her name, Veruca Salt. And this is the nut room, and she tries to steal one of the squirrels. And when she tries to steal one of the squirrels, she soon falls into that chute right behind her and goes toward the incinerator. And the last one is Mike TV in the television room. And this young boy tries to get into Wonka vision. And he ends up shrinking himself into a height of no more than an inch. And the only one that makes it through the entire tour was the only one that didn't have this crazy, unquenchable desire for more. It was Charlie Bucket. Pretty amazing. And what does he get in return for making it through this entire tour? He's given the entire factory, the whole factory. What a wild story. It's an amazing story that you see this young boy who comes from a poverty-stricken family, given the entire Willy Wonka factory. And it kind of goes against a number of things that we are taught in our culture. And the big thing that we're taught is that the desire for more, the desire to get more, drives us toward our prosperity. Isn't that what happens so often in jobs and in our workplace, at the store? Our desire for more drives us to greater prosperity. And for each of these winners in this story, that desire, that drive for more actually causes them to lose what they already have. But for Charlie, for young Charlie, the only one that wasn't consumed by his desire for more, he was given the whole factory. And this desire for more is really ingrained in each of us, even from a young age. You see this in a child's reaction. If you take away their favorite toy, their favorite cookie, you see how they react. But it's really not just in children. It's also in adults. Because regardless of whether you're young or old, we all have this desire ingrained within us for more and more. Maybe it's more money. Maybe it's more stuff, more clothes, better relationships, or maybe it's a bigger house or a better job. It's all ingrained within us. It's kind of something that puts roots deep down into our hearts and it becomes incredibly difficult to remove. When a few years ago I went on a trip with some of my cousins from Scranton, Pennsylvania, all the way to, or from Chicago, Illinois, all the way to Scranton, Pennsylvania, about a 13-hour drive. And we were in a minivan. There were five adults and one child. That child was a one-year-old, my cousin Malachi. And as we're driving from Chicago all the way through the night to Scranton, my little cousin Malachi, who was 1 year old at the time, is sitting in the back seat of the minivan with his mother, my other cousin Alicia. And Alicia is feeding him Cheerios the entire trip. And it was amazing. I couldn't believe this little kid could down that many Cheerios. I mean, in 13 hours, he had to have eaten the entire box. It was amazing. And something interesting happened every time, as long as he was eating the Cheerios, he was happy. The moment she stopped feeding him Cheerios, all of a sudden, he was not happy anymore, and he started to scream. He started to yell. But as long as he had the Cheerios, he was happy, but more importantly, he was quiet. And when he was quiet, the van was quiet. It was a peaceful ride as long as he ate the Cheerios. And I remember sitting there thinking, man, this is such a good kid, but he seems kind of selfish. He just wants more Cheerios. Maybe his parents should you know, teach him better. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, wait, we're all a little selfish. So I started to think about times where I've gone to a restaurant. Maybe I wasn't pleased with the service or the portions of food I got. Or the numerous times as a child sitting around the Christmas tree Christmas morning after opening all of my gifts, thinking, man, this was good. I just wish I had gotten this one more gift or that one more gift. How incredibly selfish and greedy. And I'm sure all of us could sit here for a moment and tell stories like this of sometimes our unreasonable desire for more stuff. Many of us are guilty of selfishness or greed in one area or another. And it's because the idea of getting more seems so logical. If having a little bit of something good is enjoyable, having more of it seems like it should be better, right? That only makes logical sense. But then when we get more, we end up wanting more. And when we always want more, we're never, ever satisfied. It's a never-ending cycle that leaves us always wanting and never having enough. So the question is, how do we break out of this cycle for always wanting more? What is it that causes us to snap out of this cycle? And the thing that breaks the cycle of more is not broken by necessarily what we get, but rather what we give. What we give. And this month we've been looking at this series called Ripple Effect. And the main idea of this whole month is that my decisions set in motion my destiny. That every decision we make sets in motion a future for us. And this decision that we make to give breaks the desire to get. That's what I want to share with you this morning. The decision to give breaks the desire to get. And so often our whole world is surrounded by this desire to get more. We just this week, for those of you that have iPhones, the new iPhone came out. And I'm sure in another week, another iPhone is going to come out. We always want more. And you see this so often in our culture, this desire for more. And what I love about Scripture is it's so simple. And it gives such a simple response to this desire for more. And when I was reading and studying for this morning, as I was reading this passage, and we're going to look at it in a few moments from Proverbs chapter 11, I remember reading it and I was thinking, man, I like what this says, I just don't like the way it says it. I don't like the way it goes about it. And maybe you can relate to this as we read in Proverbs chapter 11, starting in verse 25. Listen to what it says here. It says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. And this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand necessarily. This is what bothered me, how this passage says, he who gives freely gains even more. I'm not a math whiz, but if I had 10 $1 bills and I gave away three of them, I'm left with $7. $7 is less than $10. therefore I have less, not more. We learn that in kindergarten, first grade. You put all the apples on the table and you push three aside and you're left with seven, and you have seven is greater than three. So it doesn't seem to make sense what this verse is talking about. That if we give, we actually gain. But let's look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. Getting back to this movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Look at the different winners in this movie. They all had something in common. They had this desire and love for chocolate. We know that because they all had to buy a Wonka chocolate bar to win the contest. The difference wasn't in their desire for chocolate, because all five of them had a desire for chocolate, but rather their priority of that desire. See, for four of these winners, they go into the factory and go through this tour, and their desire for more so overwhelms them that they actually push aside their own safety, their own well-being. And it drives them. And look what happens. Their drive for more actually causes them to lose what they already had. But the one who actually wins, who makes it through the entire tour, young Charlie, his desire wasn't that he didn't like chocolate or candy at all. Quite the opposite. He was a normal kid. He loved candy. But the priority of his desire was different. He had an appreciation for what he already had. And what did he get in return? He got the whole factory. And I understand psychoanalyzing an old children's movie doesn't always work out to reality, because it's a movie, it's not reality. But the principle is very similar to what we looked at here in Proverbs chapter 11. The principle is very similar. As Proverbs says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. The truth is that the priority of our desires and the decisions we make become crucial. The fact is that those who are generous with their giving are somehow happier. In 2008, the Science Journal did a study. And what they found was that people are happier when they spend their money on someone else rather than on themselves, even though they originally thought it would be the other way around. They found that people are actually happier. It's because we find satisfaction in blessing people. And how is this? It's because our decisions not only set in motion our destiny, the decisions that we make don't just set in motion our destiny, but it also sets in motion our priorities, the priorities that we have in our lives. And if our priority is, I need to get more, what happens is that our lives start to reflect this unquenchable desire for more. But the reality is that the decision to give will always break that desire to get. When we willingly choose to take something that is rightfully ours and give it to someone else, it does something internally in our hearts. Every time we give, it serves as a subtle reminder that our time, our talents, our treasures are not given to us for our own satisfaction. That might be a truth that maybe you've never heard before. But our time, our talents, our treasures, the things that we have, they're not given for our satisfaction, but they're given for our stewardship. And the better we can steward what we already have, the more we're going to enjoy what we already have. Being a steward is not trying to live for our own entitlement, our own benefit. You see, when we see the stuff that we have as something we deserve or have earned, we will always live with this measure of entitlement, this measure of this desire for more. Because I deserve this. I've worked long hours. I've done this or that. I've earned this. But the reality is, none of us deserve what we have. We've all been so blessed. If we can see the things that we have, the stuff that we have, not simply as something that I deserve, but rather something that I should steward, it changes our entire perspective. No longer is it about what we can get, but it becomes about how can we best give? How can I best be a blessing to someone else? God has entrusted the resources, the abilities, and even the opportunities to us to be stewards of these things. But also that we can be a blessing, not only for our own good, but also for the good of those around us, that God has placed around us. And something interesting happens, and this mental shift takes place, where our desire to acquire more and more slowly will begin to transform into a desire to bless more and more. It's because the decision to give breaks the desire to get. So wouldn't this be a beautiful world if more of us modeled this principle in our lives? Wouldn't it be incredible? It'd be an incredible place if more of us modeled this. Think about it. If someone gets a raise or gets a promotion, it's not simply about their step in status now, but it now becomes an open door, an opportunity to bless more people. Or on Black Friday, remember that's the day after Thanksgiving of all days. On Black Friday, success wouldn't be if you got the latest thing, or you're the first one in line. Success would be being the first to give a blessing to someone else. Or on Christmas. Christmas would be more about helping the hurting, the helpless of our world, than it would be about getting the latest gadget or the latest appliance or toy. Wouldn't it be incredible if our world operated around this principle of giving rather than getting? Now, I'm not saying it's in any way evil or bad to have nice things or good stuff. In verses 25 and 26 of this passage, it says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell." The idea here isn't to get rid of all your stuff, but to better steward your stuff. See, in America, we are remarkably blessed. I don't know if any of you have ever traveled outside of the United States before, but travel to just about any nation in the world, and you'll see how blessed we are. If kind of comparison's sake, if someone in America was living at the poverty line, America's poverty line, which is about $10,000 a year, $10,000 income a year, that's the poverty line. If someone was living at that place, they would fall within the top 14% of the income distribution in the world. They'd be among the top 14% wealthiest people in the world if they were at the poverty line in America. Worldwide, over 1 billion people live on less than a dollar a day. In the United States, and specifically here in Pennsylvania, we have something called minimum wage. Minimum wage means that everyone that has a job has to get paid at least $7.25 an hour. Now, I'm not saying all of this to guilt you into anything. I want to give you context. We are blessed beyond measure. There are certain things, sometimes I know I'm guilty of this, that we say, this isn't a want, this is a need, I have to have this. But the reality is we have more than we already need or deserve so often. Open your closet someday. Count how many shirts that are red, how many shirts are blue, how many pairs of jeans you have, how many pairs of shoes you have. We are so blessed in America. So blessed. And it's not that we're any better than anyone else in the world. It's not that God said, oh, the Americans, they're a step above everyone else. They're the elite of the world. They're the elite of my creation. It's not that we're any better. It's that God has chosen to entrust us with these things, to be good stewards. He believes that we who are blessed will in turn be a blessing to someone else. That it won't be about what we can get, but it'll become more about what we can give. And how our country over the years has so quickly turned that it becomes so much more about what we get. Look at all of the major holidays in our country. Every holiday is another chance to get a gift, get more stuff. But it's not about the stuff. The stuff won't make you any happier. The stuff won't make, it might make your life a little bit easier so you don't have to get up and turn the channel because now you have a remote. But it's not going to make you any happier in the long run. The stuff that you have been given, the wealth and the resources that we are given in this country, isn't for our satisfaction. God didn't say, man, they look like a good person, I'm going to give them all this stuff. No, he gave it to us so that we can be good stewards. And I'm not saying that we should walk out of here and go and sell all of our stuff and go and live on the streets, or that we should try to live at the level of someone in a third world country. I'm not saying that at all. Because if we were to do that, we would no longer be able to be a blessing. We wouldn't be able to be a blessing. The fact is that the decision to give breaks the desire to get. Breaks the desire to get. See, it's not about all the stuff that we can get. It's not about all of the resources that we can get. It's about how much can we give? How much could we give out? Could you imagine what our church would be like? Could you imagine what our world would be like if people got a hold of this idea of giving rather than getting? Of giving more, being a blessing to more. We see it modeled for us way back. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. In the early church, Acts chapter 2. As the early church was being formed and created, it says that they gave to each other as they had need. And no one had needs because they were blessing each other. They were giving. I wish some of you could sit with me throughout the week when we have people come through the doors that are in need financially, in need of something. And in America today, this isn't to condemn, but in America today we have a lot of organizations that have been created. Wonderful, incredible organizations that have been created and founded to be a blessing to people. Many of those organizations are started with people and still have people within them that have a heart to bless people. Some of them aren't even founded upon Scripture. These organizations have been created. Why? Because the church no longer is doing its job. That was originally the place of the church, the role of the church, to be a blessing. The church is to be a lighthouse to the hurting. As some would say, a hospital to the broken. But we've become more concerned about what we can get than what we can give. And God, I believe, wants to start a revolution of sorts. A revolution of generosity. A revolution of generosity that starts with us. And generosity doesn't say, I'm going to give everything I own away. Generosity says, I'm going to shift my priorities from how much can I get to how much can I give? How can I be a blessing? So when you see the opportunity, it's not the, I need to get this new outfit, but rather it's more of how can I be a blessing to that person? And you know what happens? When we sacrifice or when we are willing to be generous, what happens is that we too are refreshed. Remember what we read earlier, that he who refreshes others is himself refreshed. I was sharing with our staff this morning, we were praying, and it's kind of the analogy that's used is like a stream. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to Lynn Run Park. Lynn Run's down in Ligonier. One of my favorite places. And all of my life, grew up in Latrobe, we would go to Lynn Run. We'd walk the creek there, or the crick, as we like to say. And there was this one little spot that we loved to go to. It's because the basically there's like a little pond that had formed. The creek would flow into this area, but nothing flowed out. So it got deep. And there's a big rock, and you could slide. It was really cool. The problem was that water over time kind of gets dingy. It smells. It's not good. Because what you're doing is you're flowing water into a place there's nothing flowing out of. And it really loses its purpose. It's not refreshing any longer. Actually kind of smelly. After you get into it, you have to go get a bath or a shower. Because now you smell like algae and nastiness. Or the other side isn't good either. If you had the same thing, the water's flowing out of it, there's nothing flowing into it, eventually that's going to run dry. But a pure stream river is one that's constantly flowing. And there are things that resources that God flows into our lives. Maybe God opens the door for a better job or a new job, or maybe you're blessed with something. God has given that to you to be a blessing to someone else, so that can flow into someone else's life, not simply for your own benefit. And what I'm not asking, and what I'm not talking about this morning is how can we get more money for our church? Because honestly, I could care less. I my desire isn't to bolster our church's budget or income or anything like that. That really doesn't matter to me that much. My desire this morning is that this church, Calvary Assembly, be a place known for its generous people. Not that you just give money to the church, but that anywhere you are, walking through Panera, walking down the street, through the grocery store, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, that you're a generous person. Not just with your money, not just with the things that you have or the stuff that you have, with your life. We can so quickly run from thing to thing because we value our time, we value our talents, we value our treasures, and we don't want to devalue them by giving them away to someone that maybe doesn't deserve them. But when we're generous, when we say, you know, I'm going to put others ahead of my own desires, my own needs, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. How do I know that? Because there's a story in the Bible of a man who was born into a simple family. And this man would one day grow up and give his life upon a cross. His name was Jesus. And Jesus was the Son of God. If anyone had everything, he had everything. Maybe not physically or materially, but he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. He had it all. And when he died upon the cross, when he hung upon that cross, as he was carrying his cross to Golgotha, in his mind, he wasn't thinking, ah, man, is he really worthy of this? Is he worth it? I don't know if he deserves it. Because if he had been, he would know very clearly that I'm not. And I don't deserve it. And none of us do. But in the book of Hebrews, it actually says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He gave everything. Everything he had, his life. Not because any of us deserved it, but because he had a heart of love and generosity. He modeled that for us because he wants us to respond the same way. That doesn't mean we're irresponsible. It doesn't mean that we lack judgment and we just go into things naive and basically not realizing, asking the important questions. But it means that we don't classify people and say that person's not deserving and that person is, or that we allow ourselves, our heart, to be one that is generous. That we make the conscious decision to give. This is what we see in this simple children's movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Young Charlie Bucket wasn't concerned about how much he could get. And what did he get in return? He got the factory. When we as Christians, as followers of Christ, become more concerned about what we can give than what we can get, what do we receive? Scripture says we receive the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. A new reality. The opportunity to see the world through different eyes. Not seeing the world through the eyes of our simple humanity, where it's more of how can I get more? How can I survive? But now all of a sudden we see the world through the eyes of Christ, who said, I have come that you might have life and have life to the full. That your cup can overflow into someone else's. That what I give to you isn't for your satisfaction, but for your stewardship, so that you can bless someone else. That's God's desire for you. And you read this passage of scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 11. And it's easy to be cynical and to think, how in the world is this possible? How is this possible to give and to gain? The person who wrote this clearly didn't understand resources. They didn't understand finances. They didn't understand acquiring stuff. But here's the reality. The person that wrote this book, the book of Proverbs, specifically chapter 11, is a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was a wealthy man. In fact, Solomon was the wisest and wealthiest king in the history of the nation of Israel. Solomon, if anyone knew how to manage his resources, it was Solomon. And yet, it wasn't about getting more. It was about giving freely. He who refreshes others is himself refreshed. So how do we respond to this today? How do we respond? What do we do in response to this? You know, we could easily this morning take up an offering for an orphanage in Africa. Or we could take up an offering so that, you know, our church could have more money. But as I mentioned earlier, my desire isn't for any of that. We want to be a blessing. Those are all good things. Giving to our church and tithing, something that's biblical, it's important. But really, I want to look at the core of it, the principle there. The core and the foundation of being generous. It kind of goes against our culture in a lot of ways. But being generous for generous's sake, for generosity's sake. Not because you get something out of it. Not give $50 and you'll get this cool book. Or give $100 and you'll get this nice little trinket. It's being generous for the sake of generosity. And my desire is that Calvary is not known for being stingy, which we aren't. We're a very generous church. But that Calvary, people that are part of Calvary, are known for their incredible generosity. That people put others' needs ahead of their own. People look for opportunities to be a blessing to the hurting, to the helpless of our world. Not just inside the walls of this church. Because here's the reality. We have hurting people in our church. We do. But there are a lot of hurting people outside the walls of these churches as well. Many of you are friends with them. Many of you work with them. Many of you are even neighbors to them. You see them in the grocery store. You see them at the gas station. We're around hurting people all the time. Have you ever thought that maybe God has put those people in your life not to bother you, but so that you could be a blessing? That maybe you could pray with that one who needed prayer. That maybe that single mother, the gas pump next to you who's struggling to make ends meet, could get a free tank of gas. So you could be a blessing. So you could be a generous person. What a world would that be like if we released and started a revolution of generosity in this world? If we made the decision to give rather than fall to the desire to get, what a world would that be? I'll tell you what, just those in this room might not be able to transform the entire world, but we could make our little corner of this world a happier place, a little bit of a better place, if we were willing to give, to be generous. Could you bow your heads with me this morning? Before we move on, you may have walked into the doors of this church today and weren't quite sure what to expect, or maybe you've been here before. And this idea that Jesus would give everything for you is something that maybe is just bothering you right now. Your heart, your mind, it's just stirring within you. You don't know what to do. And the truth that someone would give everything for you is something you've never heard before. But the reality is Jesus came while we were sinners, while we were in the midst of our mistakes, of our past, past of disobedience even, separation from God. When we were in the midst of that, Jesus came and died for us. He paid the price. And through his life that was shed, his blood that was shed on that cross, he's now covered our sin. Covered it. As if it's not even there. That we can have a relationship with an almighty God. And if you've never received this gift of forgiveness, this gift of salvation, this gift of redemption through Jesus Christ, what a morning to receive God's generosity in your heart so that you too can be a generous person to others. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never made the decision to say yes to Jesus, you've never made the decision to receive God's generosity through the person of Jesus Christ, their love and forgiveness, today is a great day to do that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask those of you that want to say yes to Jesus this morning to welcome him into your life. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We're going to pray in a moment. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, this is you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Three. Anyone in this place? Let's pray. Pray this morning. All right? Anyone else? We're going to pray this morning. I'm going to ask everyone just to follow my lead. And what I'm about to pray is not a magic formula or anything like that. It's simply conversation with God. And I ask it, you just follow me, repeat after me. And for those of you that raised your hand, or maybe if you didn't, but you wanted to, I'm going to ask you to say these words from your heart, not simply as a repetitious prayer, but this is conversation with God, something that you should do on a regular basis. So if everyone can repeat after me, dear God, thank you for your generous heart, that you would send your son, Jesus, to die for me, to pay the price for my sin. Today, I say yes to Jesus. I welcome him into my life, and I commit to live according to his purposes. Give me the courage and the strength to show his love to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And this morning, we have the opportunity not only to receive the generous heart of God, but also to give the generous heart of God to those around us. And before we dismiss, in a moment, we have a special gift that we want to give to you today as a little reminder. You know, sometimes when we hear a message or we talk about that God's desire is that you give rather than get, it's something that maybe you remember until you get home to watch the Steelers game and you completely forget. But today we want to give you a gift, something that will help you remind you of what we're talking about this morning. God has called us not simply to be people who take up space and collect stuff. God has called us to be generous people who give back. Generous people who touch the lives of those around them. What a better reminder to have than a candy bar. So the service attendants are coming down the aisle. We have a candy bar for every single person. Inside five of these candy bars is a golden ticket. With that golden ticket is a $20 bill. And I want to ask you, those of you that get a $20 bill, the only rule is that $20 cannot be used on yourself. You have to use it to be a blessing to someone else. So if you happen to be one of the lucky ones that gets a $20 bill, use it to bless someone else. And in that golden ticket is a little email address. Just email us what God does when you bless someone else. Can we stand this morning? God wants to use each of us to be a blessing. Let it be not about what we can get and how much we can get, but how can we steward what we already have to be a blessing to those we encounter on a regular basis? How can we be a blessing to those around us? Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much, Lord, for your heart of generosity. Lord, that moments when we were in need, at moments when we needed your touch. We needed more of you. You've always been there. Even this morning, Lord, many of us walked into this room needing your presence, needing your touch. And God, during worship, you touched our hearts. You spoke into our lives. And Lord, today, even as we leave this place, God, let us not leave this place the same. But God, let us leave this place with a different outlook on the world around us. Lord, that you've given us resources, you've given us stuff, you've given us abilities and opportunities to be a blessing to someone else. God, let us use it to impact this world. Let us use it, Lord, to show people the love of a generous God. God, go with us. Give us your strength. Give us your presence. Lord, let us walk with your blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen.